It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
You brought up a great point. I don't know which show it was, but about how the Saints used to build around Drew Brees up the middle, essentially,
yeah.
Right? With their guards and their center or whatever else. Where did the Chiefs draft Creed Humphrey? Late first, early second.
Second round.
Okay.
Yep.
So what if you get stud center? What if you get a stud guard and you start building around your quarterback that you're apparently going to give a bag to in a year?
Mm-hmm.
What if you look at it that way and you know McKivitz is serviceable? And again, I don't love McKivitz. I do think you need to upgrade there. But
yeah.
I just feel like where they got in trouble, I feel like, because we talked about the Lance drafts and we have all offseason to talk about this. I have a million thoughts on that, believe me. But they needed to hit on guys in those drafts, and they really haven't yet. You know, not on the lines anyway. They did good in the secondary with Lenore and Hufanga and obviously Purdy, but they haven't gotten the blue chip guys out of those last three drafts like they typically do. So when you look at how they're trying to build now, are they going to build around Purdy? Like with these interior guys, and I don't want them to get in a situation where they were with Kinlaw in 2020, where they're like, we got our Armstead, we got to take a defensive tackle.
Right.
Tristan Wirfs is sitting there, let's trade back. I don't want them to do that to think like, we have to take a tackle. I want them to be like, we're taking the best fucking player. Like, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, let everything else kind of fall where they may, because now this team is not in the position anymore. They are loaded. They do still have a great roster, but Eric Armstead is the first domino to fall. After 2024, is Kittle around? Is Debo around? Is Juszczyk around? You know, are these guys around? And you got to have guys to come in. You need blue chippers to come in and take the place if you're going to continue to be a Super Bowl contender. So that's kind of where I am with that. I don't want them to draft for need. I want them to just take the best dudes and then be able to build the team around that. So, you know, they've done what they had to do, I guess, in free agency. It's felt a little bit to me like we're just throwing shit against the wall and what sticks, great. So we got these four defensive linemen. If two of them stick, awesome, right? Like, we got two guys, we'll extend them. And if two don't, whatever, we'll move on. That's what it kind of feels like to me. And it kind of does feel like to me too, like Brandon Staley is, you know, listen, he coached Leonard Floyd. He obviously had it, you know, Kendrick.
Yeah.
Like, his blueprint is, and it's fine. He's assistant head coach, and he's obviously overseeing the defense, regardless of who the defensive coordinator is.
Yeah.
But that just kind of feels like where it's heading to me right now.
Yeah. And I think that was all part of the plan, right? You know, we talked about it, that Brandon Staley was going to help bring in some outside influence to help the defense evolve in ways that they thought that Steve Wilks might be able to do, and it didn't work out. And so part of why they felt like it didn't work out was because Steve Wilks came from the outside and then was put in charge of the defense. So they said, listen, we'll promote a guy that has been with us, that understands what we're doing, but we're also going to bring in a guy that is going to help him when it comes to, again, evolving the defense, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I do think that Brandon Staley, some of this has some of it is his influence. But the other thing is, you look at, and this is relatively similar to, you know, the entire situation when the 49ers traded DeForest Buckner. And then the reason they did that was because Buckner's contract alone was going to make it where they could not afford to sign Eric Armstead or Jimmy Ward. So they chose Jimmy Ward and Eric Armstead over DeForest Buckner. Now it feels like they are choosing these four guys that they signed over Eric Armstead, because combined, those three are making $31 million. Eric Armstead was going to make $28 million. So again,
quantity over quality.
It's right. And again, it's because you have Nick Bosa and you're paying him a king's ransom, and you have Javon Hargrave, who you paid a lot of money to last offseason. So that's the thing, in a salary cap league, you can't have 22 superstars, right? Like,
right.
I think we've gotten accustomed to this idea that, you know, there are stars all over the field for the 49ers, and there are, but the problem is that those stars have now gone on to their second contracts or their third contracts, and they're hella expensive. And so, you know, you're going to have some just guys, right? That you think, hey, this guy's not a superstar, but like a Leonard, like 10 sacks is not anything to sneeze at, right? Or so I think that is what they're doing. And, you know, this is a consequence of kicking the can down the road as often as they have. And now you're having to let go of some guys that you might have thought you weren't going to let go of, right? And that goes back to Mike Silver's article about some of the difficult conversations that the 49ers were prepared to have. And personally, I think one thing that came up today that I think is interesting and is a difficult conversation, but one that I've had with a handful of people on Twitter, is Jason LaCanfora on his radio show in Baltimore said that the Ravens reached out to the 49ers about the possible availability and trade of one Deebo Samuel, who is set to count as $28 million against the cap for the 49ers in 2024.
And he said it's a no for now. For now, you know, we'll see what happens. Did you see the Calvin Ridley deal today?
Yeah, Rand Carthen inadvertently just absolutely screwed over the 49ers and John Lynch.
So he got,
when it comes to the Brandon Ayuk discussion.
4 years, $92 million and 50 guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
So yep. Ayuk's going to get north of that, or he's going to ask for it. Mm-hmm. He should. He's been much more accomplished than Ridley is.
Yeah.
So
that's the issue.
That's where they are with that. And he's one of the guys, Brian Ayuk, I feel like. So the last four drafts, we talk about how good this roster is. Well, now mm-hmm. you have to pay the quarterback. Yeah. So you have to pick and choose. You can play. That's one thing. But two, the Niners from 2017 through 2020, because I count Ayuk, had drafted a blue chip type dude that you're going to pay long term. So you mm-hmm. Kittle, Warner, Bosa, Deebo, Ayuk. I'm missing somebody in a draft, but Greenlaw, guys like that mm. that you're going to pay. I'm going to ask you, so I'm going to go back to the Trey Lance drafts, okay? Mm-hmm. Who are you paying? And if you're paying them, are they a cornerstone? Are they a Kittle? Are they a Warner? Are they a Bosa? Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'll just go through the guys who I think you might, or saw on the team. Hufanga, are you paying him?
I think it just depends on how he comes back from his injury. That's the hard part.
Is he a cornerstone blue chip build around guy?
Probably not a cornerstone, no.
It's safety, no. Agree. Yeah. Lenore.
Maybe.
I think you extend him, but is he a cornerstone?
I think he could be. I think he's working his way there. Again, it's just time will tell.
So one possible.
Yeah.
Aaron Banks.
Probably not.
Probably not, right? He's probably not going to get a second contract. And if it is, they're not going to pay him big bucks. And he's not a cornerstone guy.
No.
So you have maybe one possible cornerstone. If you want to argue Hufanga, but again, the secondary, it's not lines, it's not receivers, it's mm-hmm. not quarterback. Mm-hmm. 2022 Purdy, gigantic cornerstone there, right? And then 2000, he's the only one. I mean, that draft, mm-hmm. you have Drake Jackson, mm-hmm. Davis Price, Danny Gray, Spencer Burford, Samuel Womack, Nick Sakel, Kalia Davis, Castro Fields. None of those guys are cornerstone guys that you're going to give a second contract to or even let in the building come August. And then this past draft, and somebody brought up a really good question. I got to go back to it. This last draft was a really good tight end draft. And in the chat, somebody asked about the Charlie Warner being gone and what mm-hmm. Latu did last year. Do we like any tight ends in this draft? I don't know yet because I haven't really started looking at the draft. They will after free agency. But last year was the tight end draft. There were a lot of good tight ends in that draft.
But they were all gone by the time the 49ers got to pick. That's the issue.
True. A lot of them were, but.
Yeah. No, all of them were. That's why they got Latu. But like all of the ones that in a historic tight end draft, right? All of the ones that people had predicted as a first or second rounder all went in the first or second round. And so Latu was.
What's that a product of? Why didn't the Niners have a first round pick?
Right. Exactly. Or a second round pick.
Wait, that was McCaffrey. Was McCaffrey the second round pick?
I'm just saying they didn't have a first or second round pick in that draft. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which made it impossible for them to jump in on that tight end class.